on the inside of the envelope. And if you would fill that out and drop it in the offering box, we'll be happy to send you a nice little gift just to say thanks for connecting. We have the results from our check-ins for December. From Facebook check-ins here at church, we partner with Compassion, and we raised 7 full days of care for kids in, I forget, kids that need our help somewhere. And all the churches that partnered together, we raised 13,000 days, full days of care for all those kids. That was a pretty good month. We are not going to do check-ins anymore. We're going to take a break from that. It does cost us money. We didn't have a lot of participation. We thought we could use our money to connect with our community a little bit more. So we're going to take a break from that. And if people really hate to see it go, we'll bring it back. That's check-ins. We're doing one more week of our Christmas challenge. We've actually had a really good response. Back there on the table, there are some pictures of some of our orphans over in Kenya from Victoria Global Ministries. And we've had such a good response of people picking those pictures and sponsoring kids or just giving one-time gifts. We're going to go one more week. And so if you'd like, there are still a few pictures left back there. And then also, we are doing sort of a New Year's challenge. We're challenging everyone to read the Bible every day for the month of January. If you're not used to that, just you can pick up a Bible reading plan on the welcome table or just do it your own way. But just to read every day, try to do something every day for the month of January. And that is it. With that, we're going to get back to worshiping. We're going to stand. If you'd like to stand, if you're comfortable, turn and greet someone and welcome them here.
Against. What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? What could stand against? Sing our God is greater. God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
Got a great God.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for your day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord, restore the joy I had. When I have wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, see me through. And everything I see is you. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. Waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. Lord, let me burn for you again. Yeah. Let your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, God. I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day. I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Yeah. Just to invite you, Lord, to just burn in our hearts tonight. Set us aflame in a good way. Sounds strange when I say that, but this Holy Spirit fire that I'm talking about, and that song is talking about, just to fill us with God's presence, that we just feel and sense that in just a mighty way. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior.
Hope of nations.
Is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. As you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, and I surrender to you, Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light, shine your light, and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave and saved her. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light, shine your light, and let the world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light, and let the world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. My Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Thank you for this light that you shine into our world, God. Just shine so brilliant into us that we reflect you in our lives, God. Kind of like the moon that reflects the sun, that's us in your presence, God. We just reflect you, and God, we want to absorb as much as we can, but we just can't hold it all, and so we just reflect it back to those around us and just let this world see your light that's just so powerful. And just as we bask in this light, God, just heal our hearts too, because we need that now as well. So just praise you for that. Just pray for Scotty now as he comes up with just to bring us more of your word that we have been singing about. And God, just anoint him with your power now as he speaks, that his words would just minister to our hearts now. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I came prepared today. Ethan asked me if I brought him some Bob Evans. That's just a Bob Evans bag. Sorry. All right. There we go. Right. Well, we are starting a new year, and we're starting a new series. We're talking about fresh starts here, and for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at six people that got a fresh start from Jesus, and every single one of them and their stories are different. And so as we talk about the new year and starting off fresh this year, we're going to see what the Lord did in the lives of each of these people. And this week, we're going to be talking about Peter, the Apostle Peter, the most famous apostle. He's probably the leader of the apostles. His real name is actually Simon, and Jesus gave him the name Peter. We're going to be talking about him today and see when he got his fresh start from the Lord. And if you'd like to follow along today, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I have all the words on the screen today, but if you'd like to follow along, you can do that. And if you do not own a Bible, we have Bibles on the welcome table. If you do not own one, then one of those is our gift to you. And don't be shy about taking one. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. And before we read it, I'm going to give you a little bit of background, what's going on here. So this time, this encounter that Peter has with Jesus, this is not the first time that Peter had met Jesus. In fact, probably the first time, John tells us, is that Jesus was walking along and he called Peter's brother Simon, or called Peter's brother Andrew over, and Andrew met him, and then Andrew went and got his brother Peter, Simon Peter, and said, "Hey, I think we found the Messiah." And Peter's like, I don't know. And so Peter goes and meets him, and that's when Jesus gives him his nickname for his first time. He's like, "I'm going to start calling you Peter." And then just before the section that we're going to read, Jesus had been ministering in his hometown of Capernaum. He grew up in Nazareth, but as an adult, his hometown was Capernaum, and he was doing all these mighty works there. He was preaching, he was healing people, he was casting out demons, doing all this awesome stuff, and even at the end of the day, Simon Peter invited Jesus to his house at the end of the day, and Jesus came to his house, and Peter's mother-in-law was ill, and Jesus even healed his mother-in-law. But even after all that, Peter was not yet one of Jesus' disciples. He'd got to know him. He'd sort of been following him for a little while. He respected Jesus. He cared about it, but he really wasn't one of his disciples yet. And that's not so odd in the biblical story. In fact, if you were to go and see a speaker today and you're like, wow, that guy, he just knows the Lord. And if he were to heal people and you're like, oh my goodness, my mother-in-law's at home, she's sick, maybe I should invite this guy over for dinner. And if you invited him over for dinner and he healed someone even in your house, even then you might not be like, okay, I'm going to leave everything and be this guy's disciple, right? So Peter had got to know him a little bit, but he hadn't yet become Jesus' disciple at this point. And we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 5. We're going to see what happens, and everything's about to change for Peter. Now, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Here's the last part. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, to really get a sense of Peter and where he was and how this was a fresh start for him, you almost have to put yourself in his shoes, put yourself in his sandals for a minute, and get an idea of where Peter's at right now. So, first of all, let me ask you, when was the last time that Peter had slept? The day before, right? He just said he worked all night, and now it's morning, and they're cleaning their nets, and so he's probably tired. And what kind of a day did he have at work? They caught nothing. Not a good day. So he's tired. Okay, they caught nothing. Not a good day. And unlike most mornings, they probably came ashore. They're trying to wash their nets. But unlike most mornings, there's a crowd now. There's a crowd all over the shore that they probably usually have to themselves. They're pressing in. They're getting all up in Peter's space and the space of his partners, and they're trying to just finish their work. He probably just wants to go home and go to bed. And on top of it, this guy, this awesome popular preacher guy, comes by Jesus, and yeah, he likes Jesus and all, but then Jesus gets into Simon's boat, and he says, hey, why don't you put me out a little bit from the shore so everyone can see me and everyone can hear me, and I'll have a little lesson here. And so, you know, Peter's like, all right, so gets in the boat, pushes out, and then he's sort of like stuck there in the boat with Jesus while Jesus is teaching. And so, and then he does all the teaching, and then it's like, okay, would you put down the nets? And it's like, oh, man, we just washed. I'm not doing very good. And so he's not having a great morning. He's a little bit frustrated. Oh, I lost my page. Bam. There we go. And so Peter's in this place now where, yeah, he respects Jesus, but he's just having a bad day, and Jesus is kind of asking a lot of him. And so when he gets into the boats that they got onto probably look something like, I like how when people challenge the Bible, they say, it says Peter got down on his knees, and people are like, no, he couldn't have got down on his knees. There wouldn't have been enough room in a boat like that. And then it just so happens after people make that claim, then we find a boat from the first century. If you go to Galilee, like I went last summer, I was so blessed to go to Galilee, they found actually a boat. They had a drought, and at the bottom of the sea, encased in mud, was a boat from the first century. I mean, Jesus could have been in the boat. Probably now, there are probably lots of boats, but we know from the boat, from the way it's put together, that someone worked in that boat. They worked hard on it. They made many repairs to it. It was a working boat, and when they were all done with it, they basically stripped it all except for the hull, and they probably used everything to go use another boat. And so that boat is 27 feet long, and probably what was standard back then is something about like that. Big enough for a few people and nets and gear and fish and stuff. And so they're putting out a little bit from land there in about something like that. And then the person telling the story is Luke. Actually, Dr. Luke. He's a man who's a real stickler for details. But in this particular case, it's almost like he skips some details he's trying to get to. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep and let down your nets. It's like he didn't even tell us what Jesus said. It's like Luke was trying to get to the next part. He wants to tell us about what happened, but what happened here with Peter. And so Jesus says to Simon, he says, put out in the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And then Simon Peter says to Jesus, absolutely, sir, I will do that right away. Is that what he says? No, he almost complains first, right? He says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. You know it's complaining because of the way he says it. We toiled how long? All night. It's like, remember one time when I was just kids, me and my brother, we were home from school, we're watching cartoons. You know, you just had your all day at school, you finally get home, you're eating a snack, loving cartoons, dad walks in, and it's like, whenever dad walks in and you're not doing something, you know he's gonna put you to work. So he's like, hey, you guys, I need you, let's go. And so we got outside and we're going to work. And I remember saying to dad this one time, I said, how much longer is it gonna be? We've been at this for hours. And he literally did this. He's like, it's been half an hour. And just that idea, like when you complain, it's just this long going exaggeration. It's like, oh, it's been so long. So Peter, he's like, I am gonna let down the nets, Lord, but I just wanna register my complaint first. I just want you to know that I love you and respect you, but hey, who's the pro here? I'm the fisherman. At this point, Peter's probably somewhere between 25 and 35. He's a man. He's probably been fishing since he was 5 and probably been fishing like a real job since he was about 15. So he's got at least 10 strong years in there. He's a real fisherman. And when you fish there, you don't do it like Jesus said. You fish at night when the fish are eating, and you fish around the edge of the lake where they come up to eat. And Jesus asked Peter to do the opposite. Okay, now that the bellies of the fish are all full, okay, now what you put out in deep and put out for a catch out there. And Peter's just like, there's just no way. I'm so tired. I just want to go home. But because you're the master, I will do it. And he does, and he obeys. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And so what happens next is just the craziest thing. Who's all there right now? We've got Peter, We've got Jesus, and who else? Well, there's probably at least one more person in the boat because it says they let down the nets and they called to their partners. Okay, their other partners are in the other boat, and they have all the people that were pressing in to hear Jesus on the land. So all these people here are here to witness this right now. And they go and they catch all these fish, and it's so incredible. They're like, oh my goodness, the boat's sinking. And they call to their partners. The partners rush in. They bring out the other boat, and they pull in so many that it says the boats are about sinking. So they're like, hurry, let's get these things to the shore. And then it happens. It says, but when Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees saying, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. It's like, all those people there, okay, why did Jesus use fish? He's basically showing himself to Peter, saying, look, I'm the Lord, look, I am more than just a preacher. He's revealing himself. It's something that we call a theophany. A theophany is a religious word that just basically means theophony. It means God and communication, like phone, like telephone. When God communicates himself, the prime example in the whole Bible is when Moses runs to the burning bush and God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. That's like a classic theophany when God reveals himself. So Jesus is revealing himself to Peter. Why did he use fish? Why did he just have a big catch of fish? It's obviously not for to feed the people, because when they're done at the end of the story, they just leave all the fish to rot on the shore. It's not for the next miracle. He didn't turn 1,000 fish into 2,000. What he was doing was, he was speaking Peter's language. He was meeting Peter where he was. You see, Peter had seen the miracles. He'd seen some healing, and it's kind of like, yeah, Jesus, that's your thing. But see, I'm a pro fisherman. Now you're in my boat. Now you're in my world. And Jesus said, it's like you try to catch fish, and I own all the fish. You try to get a few, and they all belong to me. And Jesus shows himself to Peter in that way. And so one thing is, sometimes when we need a fresh start, we're looking for Jesus. He's going to reveal himself right where we are, in a place where we understand. In the church, we like testimonies. We like when people share their story. But you ever hear some testimony and they're like telling about like how Jesus met them, and you're like, that's not that great. Like, oh, it's good for you, but you know, so what? It's because it means something special to them. And Jesus communicated in a way that went past what we could just say with words. And it's like Peter has been fishing for maybe decades now. He knows what works and doesn't work. He knows what's natural and what's supernatural. And so when this happens, he knows, oh my goodness, something is going on here that is supernatural. And the next thing happens is when he saw it, he reacted. He got down on his knees. He says, depart from me, from a sinful man. All of a sudden, he used to see Jesus as this religious teacher, but now he gets down on his knees in front of him. Basically, a lot of times, Jesus says, I'm showing you who I am. I'm giving you a glimpse of the truth to give you a new perspective. Now, we can have lots of new perspectives, a new look on life. But one that's going to be healthy is when you get a new perspective that's based on the truth. I got a little illustration here. I was reading this, and I said to myself, wow, that's kind of like my undershirts. Top 10 things you don't hear in traditional church. That's like my undershirts. So this here, this is Peter, okay? This is just one of my shirts. I've had it for a long time. Lisa washes them super clean. And this is like Peter. He says, you know what? Basically, this is before the big catch of fish. He says, okay, I'm walking around. I'm basically a good guy, okay? I'm pretty clean. It'd be hard to find really a stain on me. Now, I've had some stains. I've been dirty before. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. And I've been through a lot of it. But you know what? I believe in God. And I honor him. And I've been to the temple, or I've been to church, or, you know, I hang out with other people that are like me. I hang out with a good crowd. I'm pretty good. And I've met Jesus, and we're cool. I feel like we're on the same team. And that's where Peter was at. That's where he was living at. Okay? And he says, you know what, in fact, you know, compared to some people, I'm pretty stinking clean. Now, that's a shirt that I drug through the mud out by the wood pile right there. He's like, I compare myself to a lot of people in the world, and actually compared to them, I look pretty good. You know, I think Jesus would be pretty happy with me. And so as far as Peter's concerned, Jesus is just like him. They're two of the same. We look the same, and the way Peter sees Jesus right now is we're on the same team. We're on the same team. I look like Jesus. Jesus looks like me. I'm good. Nothing has to change. And my life can stay the same as it is right now. And then Jesus goes out of his way. He loves Peter. He's got a great plan for him, and he does something special. He reveals the truth to Peter, and I get a brand new shirt from the store here, and he says, you know what? The truth is, Peter, you may be pretty clean, but you're nothing like me. I wish the light would show that a little bit better. He's like, I have never been stained. I have never been dirty. Compared to me, you might look pretty dingy. And this, Peter gets a glimpse of the truth, and he's like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the best there was. You know, I thought I was on top, but the truth is, if I get close to someone holy, I just found someone holy, and they make me look pretty bad. Now, sometimes this happens just in life. Someone gets a glimpse of the Lord. Someone gets a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus reveals himself, and they walk around feeling kind of dingy. It's not really a good feeling. Sometimes it makes you feel kind of bad. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, I don't, you know, people are judging me, or I feel bad, or they're a bunch of holy rollers. We just launched this church, and I already got a letter that called me a holy roller. Like, no one has ever called me a holy roller in my whole life. But just when the Holy Spirit works and shows the truth, sometimes people just feel bad. And there's a couple options when that happens. When you feel bad, you could run. You could say, I feel bad, kind of like Peter was, like, I just can't even stand to be next to you. You know, you just make me feel bad. Like, depart from me, Lord. I'm not worthy to be next to you. I feel bad. I feel filthy dirty. I look like this, but compared to you, I feel like this one, Lord. Or, that's one option, you could run. Another option is to have an appropriate response to address it and to go ahead. If Jesus is willing to reveal himself, he probably wants to get close to you. He's revealing himself. It's like saying, hi, I'm Scotty. I'd like to get to know you. And so what Peter does is he gives Jesus an appropriate response. Excuse me. Sorry. He gets down on his knees and he worships Jesus. He says, I am a sinner, he admits. Now to me, that's kind of a funny response. He says, I'm a sinner. Gets down on his knees, I'm a sinner. I don't know what I would have said. I don't think I would have said that. Okay, it's kind of like, all right, I'm a pro fisherman, all right? I've been featured on the Bass Channel, you know? I got my own pole and stuff. Jesus is like, let down your nets for a fish. I'm like, that's not how we do it, but if you really want to see, all right, we'll learn the lesson here. I'll throw down the nets, and then I see the fish. I'm like, oh my goodness. I think my response would have been, you're a better fisherman than me. I think my response would have been like, I'm sorry for running my mouth. Peter didn't say that. He said, I'm a sinner. He said, the truth is, I'm not holy like you. We see the same response over and over in the Bible when people run into God. One of the most famous prophets of all time, his name was Isaiah. The year that his king died, he went into the temple, which he had done many times, and God revealed himself, and all of a sudden he's in the presence of God. And Isaiah was already a really like holy guy, and he's like, I'm dead because I'm a sinner. I'm just dead. I'm in the presence of someone holy. I'm in the presence of someone who's never been dirty. And so Peter, in the same way, is like, oh, I'm a sinner. Now at this point, I kind of want to address the guys for a minute. When Peter gets down on his knees, this is kind of weird for guys, okay? It's like he gets down and he just totally humbles himself, okay? And the truth is, I just want to tell you, it's not like Peter was saying to Jesus, oh, I really want to start a relationship with you. Okay, he wasn't doing that. What he was doing was he was just speaking the language of men. He was speaking the language of respect. He was getting down on his knees. He was giving Jesus all the respect he had. It's like the knight finally found a king that was worth serving. And he got down and he said, my king, you are worthy. You know, I just want to give you all my respect. And it turns out that he gave all his respect to a good king, not just someone who was powerful, not just someone who was, you know, made him look bad, but someone who was powerful and good. And so Jesus returns, he responds to Peter, and he says, don't fear. It's okay. It's okay, Peter. You know what? From now on, you're not just going to respect me. I'm not just going to accept you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to use your strengths. I'm not just going to take you from being a fisherman over here to making you a fisherman in my kingdom. No, I'm going to take you from being a fisher of fish. I'm going to make you someone who fishes and catches the creatures that catch fish. I'm going to take you up to a whole new level. I'm going to use you in a way that you've never been used before. You're going to be one of my disciples. You know, someday people are going to call you Peter because they're going to look back and they're going to see that you were a rock and I built my church on people like you, Peter. And when Peter gave Jesus the appropriate response and says, basically he was repenting, basically saying, Lord, you're holy and I'm not. I honor you. Jesus says, you're ready now to become my disciple. I accept you and I love you and I have a great mission for you. And he put that night to work. You know, Peter was a man. Fishing was hard work back then. Back then, if you fished, usually used partners like they did, and they had to go out and they would throw the nets. And often, the system that they used required someone to jump in the water. What kind of clothes did they wear? Did they have swimming trunks? No. They wore usually two robes, like a tunic and like a cloak over. And I don't know what you think, but I don't think it would be very easy to swim wearing a dress. And so they usually left the cloak on the shore, they took off the tunic, they took off the robe that was basically their underwear, and they would just dive in naked, and they would work hard. And so if they're working at night, you think it's warmer or colder at night? It was cold. So they swam in the cold. Every day he's pulling on those nets, and he's pulling those things up, he's casting them out, and he's cleaning them. He's always pulling. He had probably hands like a bear. All those ropes all the time, always wet, always pulling. He probably wasn't very buff because they didn't eat a lot back then, but his back from all that pulling, I can tell you something about all that pulling. My cousin, she went to Ohio State, and she wasn't a weakling. She was a serious farm girl, and she was a walk-on to crew, to Ohio State crew. In fact, she got a scholarship every year after that to stay in crew. And so when she went to college, she looked like this. After her freshman year, she came home like this because of all of that pulling. So Peter was a man's man. And he got down, he said, Lord, you are holy. I'm a sinner. I don't even feel good being with you. And it wasn't some sort of sissy thing. Jesus was saying, I'm taking men like you, Peter. I'm taking whatever you are, whoever you are, I'm taking your gifts and I'm going to use it in a great way. I'm giving you a fresh start in a way that's brand new to you. You know, as we launch into the new year and people are making resolutions, we think about a fresh start, we think about what am I going to do in 2016? When this year is over, what will I have accomplished? What will be different? And it could be you already knew Jesus like Peter. You already known him for a while and nothing was really wrong. Nothing's bad, nothing's great. It's just you honor him. But you're just sort of got your eyes open for a fresh start. And in some way, maybe Jesus has been revealing himself to you. It happens different ways all the time. Remember a story that Chuck told me, our bass player, he told me one time he went to a service at Quest in West Liberty, and they had a service, and he's just struggling with this thing. And, you know, some people, when God does something, it comes slowly in steps. Something is just like, sometimes it's just like, bam. And he's like, and they had this thing where we participated, and he participated, and he sort of put this burden. He just gave up one of his burdens that was just weighing down on him. And just like nothing happened. Okay, maybe it's just going to be like a slow step thing. I just gave this up. And he was like, and then I was driving down the road and God just took it and just he just healed me all at once. But it was like a delayed reaction. Everyone, it's different. But if Jesus is revealing himself, what he's expecting is just some sort of an appropriate response. He's looking for an opportunity to give you a fresh start. But we would be missing something if we didn't go one further point. For Jesus to offer that and for you to take a fresh start, for you to give yourself to Jesus, if we didn't understand what the results would be. And there's one last thing that a fresh start includes almost always something new and leaving behind something old. And so it says, when they finally got their boats to the shore, him and his partners, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything. It's kind of like, okay, I have this great idea. What I want to do in 2016, I know it. Okay, it's going to be awesome. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading my Bible like 30 hours a day. Oh no, that's not going to work. I'm going to read my Bible a lot. Okay, and you think about the new thing that you want. But there's like a cost. In order to do the new thing, in order to have the fresh start, I have to give up something else. And it's like before the fresh start, it's almost always like painful. It's like, oh, I have to give that up. Peter and his partners, they left a small fortune on the shore right there. Biggest catch of their lives. It's kind of like, Jesus, could you just stop by like once a month for 5 minutes? That'd be awesome. We would have such a great business. No, you know what? If you would have told him beforehand that he was going to give up that catch, he would have said, no way. But when Jesus offered this fresh start to Peter, you know, the cost didn't even sting. He didn't feel anything. With joy, he left behind something old, and he picked up the thing that Jesus was offering him. So I'm going to close. I want to sort of apply it here one last way, and I'm going to share my New Year's resolution. It's based on Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what I want for myself this year. I was thinking about, Lord, I don't know if I'm like Peter. Like, I've been walking with you. And I feel like we've been doing good. But man, Lord, would you show yourself to me? I just feel like there might have been a time in my life where I was closer to you, and I want that back. I want to be so close to you this year, Lord. I want to look back and be like, man, 2016, with my family, my friends at Quest, oh, Lord God, we were so close. And I can remember all the great things you did in my life in 2016. So this is my resolution. This is something that we shared when we did the journey. At the end of the journey campaign over in the big tent, we celebrated and we had brought in the first fruits, how much money we raised. And I shared the short devotional. And this is in the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about the previous chapter, all the great men of God they talked about. He says, let's do this. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's do this looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's like, this is what I want to do, Lord. I'm looking at 2015, looking at all the stuff I've done, and it's like, I just feel like I wasted a lot of time on some things. God, I want to lay aside every sin. It says, lay aside every sin and every weight. Every sin for sure, lay that aside. But not just every sin, every weight that slows down, that hinders my run with you, Lord God. I want to run for you. It's kind of like an athlete. It's like, all right, I'm going to have my best track time in 2016. Okay, I'm going to have the best time ever. Now I'm going to do that, okay? Now I'm on the track team, okay? Now today I go to dinner and grandma's got like 10 pieces of cake right there, okay? It's not a sin. It's not breaking the coach's rules to have 5 pieces of cake. But that's such a low question. That's a lame question. Is it a sin? Is it a sin? That's lame. That's about the lowest question we could ask. Instead, I'm going to ask myself, is that going to help me run? Is that going to help me run faster? Is that going to help me have the best track time ever? Am I going to have the best year ever this year? What can I lay aside for you, Lord? When you offer me my fresh start, if I have to sacrifice that, the fish, the catch, whatever it is, Lord God, I just want to run with you. As we close in prayer, we're going to start with just a little bit of silence. And I just want maybe just take the opportunity to say, Lord, would you reveal yourself to me this year? I want to see you for who you really are. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word, for the testimony of Peter and what you did in his life and how you called him and the fresh start you gave him, Lord. Lord, this week and this month, as we go back home and to school and to work and everywhere we're going, Lord, God, would you show yourself to me where I'm at? Would you show yourself to us where we are, Lord? Show yourself to us in a way where maybe other people don't understand, but where I really get a glimpse of you. God, give me the courage to make the appropriate response, to give you all the respect and honor that you deserve, Lord. And open my ears that I can hear the opportunity that you give for my fresh start this year. Open my eyes, Lord God. I don't want to miss it. I want to see the fresh start that you were offering. And Lord, when it comes time to leave something old behind, whether it's habits or sin or friends, maybe something that's a favorite thing now, Lord, give me the courage just to take such joy in the new thing that I don't even feel the pinch. I just want to have the joy of running with you, Lord. Lord God, I just pray that you would just bless everyone here with the joy of a fresh start and a fresh year. May you be greatly, greatly glorified this year, Lord God, as we go forward and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like ever before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the evening come. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. thousand years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Your holy name, I worship your holy name. We bless you, Lord, and all that is within me, bless your name, Lord. And this year, God, we just, God, just want to turn our hearts towards you. And just choose this day, God, to show gratitude for all that you have done and that you are going to do in this new year. And we just right now praise you in advance for this work that you're doing. And thank you.